It's time for The Car Doctor on AM 950 WROL. Got a car question? Call us at 617-770-3030. That's 617-770-3030. Now, here's The Car Doctor, John Paul, on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston.
And good Saturday morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston, or Salem Radio Boston, or maybe if you're listening on Sunday nights, AM 1260 WBIX, the Business Buzz. My name's John Paul, the Car Doctor, here to help you with your car problems. Our phone number is 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. I'm going to need your help today because I've been on vacation all week, so I have no idea what's really going on in the world. Took a few days off, went to Florida. In fact, didn't even come into the studio today. I'm broadcasting from home, so hopefully all that's going as well as it should. I hope so. And so why did I go to Florida? Well, about a year ago, Joanne and I went to Florida for, I think it was for my birthday, actually. We were going to go down and kind of just check out some Florida sunshine. We were going to Hollywood, Florida. And on the way to Hollywood, probably over, you know, a couple hundred miles outside of Orlando, all the smoke alarms went off in the plane, and the flight attendants got a little panicky, and we made an emergency landing in Orlando because the plane may have been on fire. So I'm not sure it was actually on fire. What I think may have happened was the climate control system may have gone bad in the plane because the plane started getting very warm because they had shut everything off. The head flight attendant led us to believe what she thought was wrong was someone may have had an e-cigarette, one of those electric cigarettes, in the bathroom, which set off the bathroom smoke alarm. I'm not so sure that was true because as we were making the emergency landing, and I was sitting at the emergency door where, you know, when you're on the plane and they come over and they go, I know you're enjoying the extra leg room, but in case of an emergency, can you pick up 50 pounds, which is how much the door weighs, open the door, turn it sideways, throw it out the side of the plane, and get ready to have the slide deploy or climb over the wing or whatever the case is. Two people sitting next to me when it came time to actually do that said, no, we can't do this. And so it's important that if you sit in front of that emergency door, you should be actually ready in case there's an emergency. But as it turned out, as we were landing, the flight attendant said, no, don't, because there was a guy sitting next to us by that point. And I said, here's the deal. I'll pop off that cover. You grab the handle. We'll both throw the door out the window, if out the opening if we have to, whatever the case is. So, but the flight attendant came over, and we had all the window shades down, and she asked me to open up the window shade on the emergency door. And we did, and she looks over, and she said, oh, the landing gear went down. That's a good sign. Now, if there was just a false alarm in the bathroom with a smoke detector, why would they say that? So I think there was some sort of a problem. They weren't leading us to, you know, maybe completely true on what was really wrong. But we landed in Orlando. The fire department came on the plane, walked the plane, saw that everything was safe so everybody could deplane and get off. And amazingly, they had another plane all lined up for us. We were back in the air within 45 minutes, landing back in Fort Lauderdale. And I suspect it was because probably 80% of the people on the plane were on their way to a cruise, which was leaving in, I think, at 4 o'clock. So I think the idea behind that was that they wanted to get everybody on the cruise before they were in some sort of financial trouble for not getting people where they were supposed to be. me, it didn't really make any difference. If we landed in Orlando and they said, hey, we'll put you in a rental car or something and you can drive to Fort Lauderdale on your own, we would have done that. It wouldn't have been that big a deal. But we ended up in Hollywood, Florida, where we stayed at the DeSoto Hotel. But bottom line is, at the end, we got a $300 airfare credit that expired next week. So we wanted to use that up. And I have never really been to the west coast of Florida very much. So we went down to the west coast side. We landed in Fort Myers, spent a few days in Venice, Florida. I kind of like the west coast. It's a little bit more relaxed. We were looking around at different areas, not quite as busy as Fort Lauderdale and Miami and all those areas. A little community called Englewood that I sort of liked. And, you know, who knows, maybe someday, maybe, you know, maybe I'll end up there and avoid the winters and just see what's down there. So, but what was interesting about it too, and I was a little surprised, a couple years ago, I went to the Daytona area, and the car culture in Daytona is pretty extreme. You see a lot of cars, a lot of motorcycles, as you would expect it would. On the West Coast, I didn't expect to see so much, but yeah, it kind of did. I saw a really nice old Volkswagen Bug parked by the side of the road. We were out getting dinner one night, and it was just sitting there, pretty decent shape, repainted, you know, looked good from 25 feet away, looked pretty good from 10 feet away. You get up close, maybe not so good, but still a car that looked like somebody drove every day. Two monster trucks, which sort of surprised me. One was a Chevy Suburban that had to be 3 or 4 feet off the ground. And the other one was and I didn't take a picture of it, was actually like a real monster truck with, looked like military axles and bulldozer tires on it. And just a big truck just parked in someone's yard. There was also a really, well-preserved, probably a 67 Plymouth Barracuda, probably the year I don't like as much. You know, there were the ones that looked like more like Valiants in the early years, I think, what, 63 or 64, and then some of the later ones. So that was kind of nice to see. Also, really clean, El Camino, just a good looking car, just in really nice shape. Next to the hotel, there was a probably a 57 or so Ford pickup truck, hot rod truck, also kind of a daily driver sort of thing. Old Krager SS wheels on it, looked like a fresh respray. I wouldn't call it a great restoration, but it looked like a nice truck that somebody drove to work on that day. So that was sort of interesting. The other one we were going to the beach one day, and I was walking by, and there was a an old Honda Goldwing, but it was sort of the Goldwing without all the fairings and plastic and stuff on it. It was just a plain motorcycle. But what was interesting was it had a custom tank. The gauges made into the tank, and instead of the regular Honda carburetors on it, it had four Weber carburetors on it with stacks that were came up right next to the gas tank. The gas tank was curved in, so the stacks came up straight, almost level with the top of the gas tank. I said to the guy, I walked over and I said, I got to go take a look at this thing, only because I never seen anything quite like that before. He apparently belonged to something called the Naked Goldwing Club, which is people that have those Goldwings that are not set up for touring but set up for riding. And I said to him, oh, this thing must be a handful to start when it gets cold. Then I stopped myself and said, oh yeah, it never really gets cold here in Florida. So, and like, it seems as if half of Florida is from Michigan. So this guy said, yeah, you know, when I lived in Michigan, it was a different story. And this guy used his motorcycle to go wherever he goes. He also had it set up with a fishing rod holder in the back. So he used it to go down to the beach, go fishing, and I generally have a good time. So it's just sort of an interesting story, and you know how he uses his motorcycle to get around. But this thing was pretty good, and he said, "Oh yeah, you know it's." He said, "When it gets a little cool out, he said, a little bit hard to start, so you have to flood it a little bit to get it going, like everything with Weber carburetors on it." So it kind of interesting to see the culture of, you know, the cars don't get thrown away. Also, an awful lot of golf carts. A lot of golf carts for sale. Everybody seems to have a golf cart for sale. So, and we actually spent some time. We can't afford a big fancy house. So we went around and we kind of looked at condos and mobile homes and people have different opinions on what is move-in ready. We looked at a mobile home in a really nice location in a mobile home park, and we were just looking for something to do, and they said, oh yeah, it's in really good shape, it's this, and it from the outside it did look in good shape. It had a nice little screen room, like the Floridians call a lanai. Looked pretty nice. Older person owned it, who I guess now was in a nursing home. The entire, I think, underside of this house needed to be replaced. Every room I walked in, there were soft spots in the floor. So the floor apparently is pretty well rotted out. And I guess that's typical of those kind of things. So, and I'm not going anywhere. It's too early to retire. So I don't know what I'm going to end up doing. Speaking of retiring, a year ago, minus a week, was the... Back up. 11 years ago, minus a week, was the last radio program I did on WJDA and WESX. This week would have been the first radio program, 11 years ago, I did on Salem Radio Boston. Originally on the talk station, 1150, and then moved over to WROL. And originally we were on for 2 hours on the talk station from 8 to 10, and then get moved over to WROL. So and originally 9 to 10, and then 8:30 to 10. So I want to thank everybody at Salem Radio Boston for making that all happen. Always good to remember that anniversary. So 11 years ago, just about today. So first Saturday in May. Never skipped a Saturday. And you know, it always makes me kind of go back to how long I've been kind of doing this, and you know, trying to talk to people on the radio. And you know, people ask me why I even did it, and it really all started out with a couple of reasons. When I first came to work at AAA, I worked in our auto diagnostic center, a place where people would bring cars to have them looked at, to just see what was wrong with them. We'd try to tell them what was wrong with them, and then we would just let them, you know, get them on their way, and then they could go get their own repair, you know, get their own things repaired, and off we would go. So that's how, you know, that's where I started at AAA, and the guy who was the public affairs manager at the time said to me, we have a chance for you to go on the radio on Sunday night to talk about the AAA Diagnostic Center. And I said, good for you. And he said, no, I want you to, you know, it'd be great if you could go do it. So I said, no, all right, as long as you go with me. And I'll never forget, because it was St. Patrick's Day. And about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I get a phone call from him, and he says, well, I'm not feeling well. Can you mind going and doing this by yourself? And I said, yes, as a matter of fact, I do mind going and doing it by myself. And he said, no, he said, I can't do it. He said, but you know, we have this, you know, we have this commitment. We have to go do it. And I didn't even know where WBZ Radio was, let alone how to get there. So I drove into Boston, got lost. For some reason, I thought I needed to wear a suit to do radio. I don't know why that was the case, but I went in there, got there. I thought I was late. I was plenty of time. It was probably, I remember it was 5 o'clock. It was about just 5 o'clock when I got in there. Of course, they don't go on the air till probably 10 after. So I, according to them, I had plenty of time. I was nervous and got in, did it. And the next day, I got a call from my coworker who said, how'd it go? I heard it went well. And I said, yeah, I guess. I said, I never want to do that again. And he said to me, okay. And about 2 weeks later, he's like, oh, we have a chance to go on another radio program in the morning. And I said to him, what part of, don't you understand? I don't do radio. I don't, this isn't the thing I do. I tell people what's wrong with their cars. I fix cars. That's what I do. And went and did a second radio show. And at the time, Junior D'Amato, who's been a regular guest on this program, was on a network radio program called the Talk America Radio Network. He was on for 3 hours. He was also on for either 2 or 3 hours on another Boston radio station. And I was talking to him, and he said to me, you know what, if you ever, if this is going to become part of your job, and I actually, sitting home here, I have a article from the Boston Globe that Bill Griffith wrote, March 29, 2003, and it says the car doctor is in and he's taking house calls. And that's what kind of reminded me of this story, because in it, I kind of told the same story. And I was thinner then, by the way, when I'm looking at that picture. But anyway, he said to me, if this is going to become part of your regular job, why don't you just go find a radio station where you're comfortable? And he said, I'll have you on my program a couple times. And he said, but, you got to find a place where you're going to be comfortable. So in 1993, an attorney from Brockton bought a little radio station down in Norfolk, which was WJCC. That was John Crohan, the guy who owned that radio station, was also a partner in the Talk America Radio Network. And that became WDIS. And that was in February of 1993. According to Wikipedia, I don't have that kind of memory. And I think it was early March, they put an ad in the paper and they were looking for guest hosts. So I went to where they had a meeting, and no one actually knew what was going on. We went to the law offices of Al Grady in Brockton. Come to find out, he's the guy who owned the station. And there was a whole bunch of people. It had to be 40 people at his office. And everybody proposed what they wanted to do. And my proposal was do a Saturday morning radio program and talk about cars. And they liked the idea. So I think it was probably March or so, middle of March, we had the first program. And I won't forget, it was the PR director for Jaguar at the time was my first guest. And I know it was early March because it was snowing. And I remember mentioning that it was snowing, and he said something about, wherever he was, I think in New Jersey, it was also snowing, but he was sitting in front of his fire and all things were comfortable at his house. So that was the first program. So that was back in 1993. So that's how long I've been kind of doing this. And I started there. I filled in at the Talk America Radio Network. I got a call from one of the other co-owners. It was co-owned, actually, by Tom Starr, John Crohan, and Bob Long. They were the three partners of the Talk America Radio Network. John passed away a long time ago. Tom passed away a long time ago, and Bob Long does his own program. I went there and they asked me to fill in because they knew I did some radio, and I did that for a couple of years, and then over eventually to WJDA and WESX, and then back to where we started, Salem Radio Boston. So I want to thank everybody involved and all the time we've spent with this, and always trying to, do I know everything? No. Can I try to help people the best I can? Yes. If I can't help you on the radio, certainly you can always give me a call during work when I'm at work, or better yet, send me an email with your questions, comments, You know, do you have a particular car question that you're, you know, whether it's buying, selling, repairing, you're trying to do it yourself, you're trying to look for some tips. We don't do as much of that as we used to because there's not quite as many do-it-yourselfers as there used to be. But if you are somebody looking for that and you're looking for wiring diagrams or technical service bulletins, you can always call here at 617-770-3030, or you can always shoot me an email, jpaul, J-P-A-U-L, at AAANortheast.com. You can kind of find me the same way at johnknowscars.net. If you're, you can go check out the website that I apologize I haven't done a single thing to since the kids over at Associated Votech built that website a year ago. In fact, I'm probably going to have to pay to renew the license for it pretty soon. But that was you, at the very bottom, you can find information there. And of course, our website at work at AAA.com is being redone all the time, but there still is a ask a question section there. Or you can just call the radio station, 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Why don't we take a break, pay some bills? My name is John Paul. This is the Car Doctor program. You heard the whole John Paul Car Doctor story, I think, from its beginning. So it's time for me to take a break, drink a little bit of coffee. When we come back, we're going to talk about the car that got me around Florida, which was the Jeep Grand Cherokee Trailhawk Edition. Did I go off-road with it? Nope. But did I drive it and enjoy it? Yes, I did. We'll be right back.
The more our family grew, the smaller our old car got. So we upgraded to a Honda Odyssey. It's from Kelley Blue Book's 2016 Best Value brand and comes with standard features like Bluetooth, so my wife can remind me of all the things I've forgotten to bring home. Ah, the diapers.
Go to www.hondacarsofboston.com or 100 Broadway, Route 99 in Everett, Mass. Call 617-276-1179.
Based on 2016 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book, visit kbb.com for information. See dealer for financing details.
Did you know that more than 90% of the unchurched say they would come to church if they were invited? Join Salem Media Group's Senior Vice President of Ministries, Pastor Ron Walters, for a free seminar and luncheon to move your ministry beyond your church walls onto one of our many exciting platforms. Tuesday, May 23rd from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Salem Media Group Boston's Marina Bay Studios. RSVP today at am590theword.com, wrolradio.com, am1260thebuzz.com, or radiolewsboston.com.
Hello, this is Carol Howley Simmons, General Sales Manager of Salem Media Group Boston. As you know, 2017 is WROL Irish 950's Golden Jubilee, and as we plan our upcoming celebrations, we are feeling nostalgic and think it is only fitting to dance down memory lane with all of you. We would like you to call us at 617-691-2534 and share your memories and stories of what WROL Irish 950 has meant to you over the years. We will record you and then share your words each weekend over the airwaves. Our phone lines are open 24/7, so call us anytime at 617-691-2534. For 50 years, WROL Irish 950 has proudly made history every Irish weekend, right up to this very weekend. Come make it with us.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Service celebrates this Red Sox season with a home run of a tire sale.
Hit a home run and save big on all Goodyear tires with instant rebates and mail-in rebates. Buy three Yokohama tires, get the fourth tire free. Buy one and get the second at 50% off. On a tight budget, Sullivan Tire has tires starting as low as $49.
We've knocked it out of the park with this sale. Come in today and get ready for those weekend road trips, and we will not be beat on price or service.
WROL Boston. You're listening to The Car Doctor.
Get out of my dreams. Get into my car.
Get into my car.
Get out of my dreams. See, baby, get into my car.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Program on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston, or Salem Radio Boston. If you're listening on the World Wide Web, or the interweb, or the internet, or whatever you want to call it. And, of course, you can find past programs on WROL's website. There's some past programs there. You can go to my podcast page, and I guess it's my podcast page, johnfpaul.podomatic.com. Search on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn. There's a lot of sources. You can always do AAA Car Doctor podcast on Google, and you'll find a bunch of stuff. And also check out whatever's in the Boston Globe or the Providence Journal, both online. Boston.com does it a little bit differently. And, of course, the Boston Globe on Saturdays. And the Quincy Sun, Bob over at the Quincy Sun always, you know, every month or so puts a column of mine in, and I appreciate that. And, you know, everywhere we can get the word out. And our buddy Craig Fitzgerald, who's been on the program, he is the editor over at Best Ride. So any of the newspapers that Best Ride provides content to, they have the little Car Doctor do-it-yourself tip, along with a lot of great writers, Nicole Wakelin, and, of course, Craig Fitzgerald, and John Gorham, and George Kennedy. And they're on Best Ride, so you can go to bestride.com, and you'll find them as well. And check it all out and see what's going on. Before we get to the calls, I want to real quick talk about the car that got me around Florida for a few days, and that was the 2017 Jeep Grand Cherokee Trailhawk 4x4. It was as red could be. It was called Redline. It was a pearl exterior paint. It was just red, not my favorite color, but for a lot of people, it is their favorite color. And this was again a very red, very nice car. It was powered by the 3.6 liter V6 engine that we see in a lot of Chrysler products. In fact, the last Chrysler I drove was a Chrysler 300, also powered by the same version of this. They retuned it a little bit to be in the Jeep. Uses the new 8-speed transmission with paddle shifters. This was a very fancy Jeep Grand Cherokee, but also really set up for off-road. The Trailhawk is really gives you that designation. The only one time I felt a little bit bad, and I would have helped, but I didn't have the ability to do it because I didn't have a tow rope with me. I was just driving along somewhere in Florida. I think I was somewhere around Nokomis, somewhere up there, and a guy had pulled a Mustang convertible off the side of the road, and he was buried up to the rocker panels in sand, and the Jeep would have been great to pull him out because it has all these points where you can tie off to, but no tow rope with him, no tow rope with me. I believe he was calling AAA to get him towed out of the sand and back onto the road again. And I'll be honest with you, I have done the same thing. And I did it to try to take a picture of a car once. So I pulled off into some sand that I thought was solid until I started to move on it and sunk right into it. This has the Quadratrac drive system, which again gives you the ability to go anywhere. Also has the air suspension, so you have the ability to raise it up, and it lowers into aero mode out on the highway to give you a little bit better fuel economy. EPA says 18 city, 25 highway. I was averaging just around 22 was average. Not bad, not great, but not bad. It's a big, heavy vehicle. It had the trailer tow package, so easy to put a Class 4 trailer hitch on the back of this. Also had something you don't see very often, and I know something a lot of people ask me about. How about the spare tire in the car? It actually had a full-size spare, so kind of nice to see that, too. It had the rear backup camera, easy to back up and put it where it needs to go. Keyless entry, so, and also keyless start, another nice feature. Heated and cooled seats. Kind of funny in Florida, as soon as you get in, you hit the remote start button, or anytime you hit the start button, it automatically, the driver's seat is preset to start to cool. I have to tell you, I'm not a big fan of cool seats. Heated seats, kind of a fan. Cooled seats, not as much. Just I don't know why, just not as big a fan of those. But it also had the heated steering wheel, not so much in Florida, but around here. Great sound system, had satellite and AM, FM, and, you know, synced up to my phone. Just all the electronic technology in it. It also was trimmed out with this black decal and on the hood, which gave it kind of a racy look. Power tailgate up and down, I can give or take, I guess. Power up. If it's raining out and you want to get to your car and put stuff in it, just takes to me. It's just easy enough to grab it and open it, which you can, but it's a little slow because it's designed to power up and power down. It had a navigation system in it. Although once I was driving around, I guess I was sort of in the Venice area, and I was down by the water, and I was trying to find a restaurant. We were trying to find someplace for lunch. I think it was the first day we got to Florida. So we said, oh, let's go eat by the water somewhere. And it got awfully confused. I don't know if it was all the radar. We were down by the water, down by the docks, and I don't know if it was all the radar from the boats. Just it didn't know where we were going. It had us out in the middle of the ocean. It was all confused. After that, we got away from there, and everything seemed fine again. So, navigation system worked perfect after that. But for that one time, it didn't quite get it. So, steering, handling, ride, all good. No wonder why the Jeep Grand Cherokee has been the New England Motor Press Association overall winner so many times in the past few years. It just does a really, really good job in everything size-wise. I think it's the perfect, if you're looking for a 4 or 5 passenger vehicle with decent cargo storage, you don't need that third row seat. I think this is just the right size vehicle, and I think that's why so many people like it, and it does a great job. Base price, $43,095. Total price as tested, $50,220. I want to thank the folks from Prestige. They are the equivalent of AutoMotion, the guys that I deal with up here. They were the ones that arranged this loan for me, and I want to thank them. And what a great vehicle to be in for a few days down in Florida. So thanks to Angelo and the crew at Prestige for putting this all together for me. Just a great way to get around. But right now, let's see how the phones work. Let's talk to Tom.
Hello. Okay. Yes, John.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. That was interesting. Retrospective. Tough way to start your radio career, to be thrown in front of a microphone. That's not what I would be able to do. But my question is, when is the last time you worked as a paid mechanic? Since we're doing this is your life, the car.
This is my life.
Yeah, that's good. Remember that? This is your life.
Yeah.
Something to that word.
It was back, let's see, when I first came to work at AAA, a friend of mine owned a little used car lot. And I was always used to working Monday through Saturday. That's the work week. I always worked as a mechanic. And when I went to work at AAA, I worked Tuesday through Saturday. So I had Mondays off. And I found myself with not a lot to do. So I want to say I've been at AAA Rhode Island now since, we merged together in 97. It's been as a paid mechanic, probably 15 years.
Okay, 15 years. Now,
yep.
In those 15 years, cars have changed so much. How do you stay up with the changes since you're not working firsthand? How do you keep up with all the technology and the information? How do you do it? Where do you get that?
A lot of it happens just like this. When people call in with questions, I am forced to look things up, figure out how things work. And I use All Data and Mitchell on Demand. I also use IATN, which is a website that's sort of a peer-to-peer sort of technician website. So when somebody calls me up and and they say that, you know, they have a, you know, 2012 something or other that's doing this, first thing I do is I listen to the problem, which is sometimes the biggest thing that doesn't happen in a repair shop. So I listen to the problem, ask them what's going on. And then some of it still is you look at common sense. So, you know, when does it happen? How does it happen? Is it temperature related? Then I look up technical service bulletins to see if there's any kind of, you know, is there a bulletin out that reflects a problem? And I'll be honest, you know, a lot of times I can come up with the answer to something, but if I had to actually go out and fix it, that's when I'd have to stop and look and go, I know what it is, I know where it is, I know how to get to it, but I'm a little rusty getting to it. So, and plus I'm getting older and, you know, it's not, you know, working on cars is certainly a younger person's, you know, physically it's a younger person's job to some extent. So, you know, so because of that, because of, you know, people asking questions, you know, all day long with me, I'm forced to keep up with everything that's with everything that's going on. And also, for instance, I answered a question, I don't know if it's in this week's Boston Globe or not, that somebody said to me, oh, I bet you haven't had this question before. And it was a guy with a Ferrari. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know a lot about Ferraris.
Right, yeah.
But it was a guy with an airbag problem, and it was this guy bought this Ferrari, and the airbag light's on, and he needs the airbag light off so he can get an inspection sticker. He went to the Ferrari dealership, and the dealership said, you know, yeah, you need a computer for the airbag system, and they don't make them anymore. Sorry. So I went... You know, so what do you tell somebody? Oh, too bad, you know, you have this great sports car, you can't drive it. So it's all about sometimes a mental Rolodex of who you know, and I remember for the longest time I followed I think it was a Chevy Suburban or a Yukon on my way to work, and it was an independent Ferrari repair shop, and they're located over in Easton. So I called over there, talked to the service manager. I said, told him what I did. I said, here's the story. He says, oh, yeah, you know, probably does need an airbag computer. You're right. And he said, yeah, and the guy was a great guy. And he said, hang on a second. So he calls Ferrari North America. They don't have one. He calls Ferrari in Europe. They don't have one. And then he said to me, you know, we deal with a couple of Ferrari salvage yards out in California, providing the airbag didn't go off when the car was crashed, chances are the computer's okay. And then I said to him, how about, you know, can you repair these computers down to the circuit board level, where, you know, today it's pretty much everybody just, you know, throws a computer away and puts a new one in. And he said, no, you can, you know, that's kind of the last ditch possibility, because everybody's kind of concerned about liability. But he said, there are those people out there, you know, it is just electronics, so there's got to be a way to try to fix it. So do I know anything about Ferraris? No, but I learned a lot more about Ferraris after this 15-minute conversation with the guy. So, you know, being able to say, yeah, it's going to need a computer. Yeah, the computer's hard to get. Is it impossible? No, but you can try to come up with an answer. So, you know, it's those ways that's how I try to keep up. Yeah.
The perseverance on the ground.
We'll
pretty much do anything.
No, the other thing is I still try to get into people's shops once in a while. You know, every time, when I go get an inspection sticker, like Junior D'Amato, I go to him because I can get there. I can get in and out and still get to work on time, even though I work in Providence and he's in Boston, because he opens up so early. Every time I see a repair shop that opens at 8:30, I wonder what's wrong. He opens up at 7:00. But when I'm in there, I hang around there for a while and I look and see, you know, what's broken. You know, what are people coming in with problems? You know, how do you, what things, I always say I'm too old to learn anything except when I want to,
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
And you want to take the time and the effort.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You
know,
so
I did that. I just wanted to, on the last with the battery, because I know you like answers and I also do, because we thought the car, the Honda with the battery, with the drain. So what I did, to be honest with you, I let the car sit for a whole week with the new battery. I haven't touched it yet since last I talked to you.
Yep.
And I took the measurement on the battery, and I took the measurement last night. Started with 12.59 volts, and at the end of the week, it was 12.51.
Wow.
So that's only eight. Well, I don't even know what that is. It's so minute. So it just shows you, just for people to know, the Honda batteries are garbage. You know what I mean? So the car's not drawing.
Nope.
But it did with the Honda battery. So just to clear it up, so now you know, because I didn't want you to give any, you know, somebody else might call and you say, well, you get a drain. There is no drain. That car sat. I didn't touch it other than to even open the door. Maybe the lights come on. I did it a few times during the week, just a periodic check on it, you know, and watched it slowly drop. So the battery.
It's a battery. It sounds
that's
perfect.
The end of that. Yeah. Well, so hope we keep listening to you for the next, who knows, John.
Who knows? You know, if you know, if I ever do retire, which you know, I you know, you have to retire sometime. But you know, I'd love to be able to do, you know, do radio. You know, people say to me, you know, as I'm getting closer to retirement age, I have a few years to go yet. But as I get closer to retirement age, I ask people who are retired what they do, and they said, "Well, for the first month, I didn't do anything. Then I found out I got bored out of my mind, and then I found something to do." And you know, I was talking to a guy down in Florida, and he said, "You know, I retired from work, and strangely enough, from Michigan, where, like I said, half the people seem to be from." And he said, "I love to play golf." So he said, "I went to work at a golf course," and he said, "I do a little bit of maintenance, and I get to play golf for free." And he said, "I get to play golf with some really interesting people." So, you know, I'm not a golfer, so, but, you know, being able to find something to do and, you know, being able to actually, you know, do a radio program like this, if I didn't have a Monday through Friday job, you know, be nice to.
And with the technology, you may have to be there like you do. You know, you're in the studio.
Right.
So you could be in Florida and still be the Massachusetts car doctor.
I could. Okay. Absolutely could be. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, okay. Tom, thanks.
Yeah, take care, John.
All right, take care, Tom. So that was pretty interesting. We learned that the Honda batteries that are all over the web that, you know, people are having problems with them, put a good, solid battery in the car. Get the biggest one that fits just so you're ready for it. Get it in there, and that's going to solve the problem. Not a lot of parasitic drain, or if there is any, the battery has enough to make up for it, so it's going to hold the voltage up there. So 12.5, car's going to start right up. Tom's a happy guy. Everything's good. Let's go over to line two and talk to Carlo. Carlo, is that you?
Yes, I'm on the line here, John.
How are you, sir?
Good. You mentioned airbags, which is right the question that I have. On a 2010 Honda Civic Coupe, and I have two general questions, and then you might ask questions as to why this issue came up. One of them is there a implied safety-related issues about airbags that go beyond the 3 years and 36,000 mile manufacturer's guarantee?
So you mean, is there like a warranty type thing?
Yeah. Yes. Is it beyond the 3 year and 36,000 miles on the safety on the airbags?
I want to say it's five, but there's been so many airbag issues with the Takata airbags, and especially in Hondas. Your Honda probably has been recalled for an airbag problem.
Now, this particular model has not. I checked the website. It's not being recalled for an airbag-related problem.
Okay.
The other thing is, how do you generate, how does the industry generate a recall? You know, like, that's my argument with the dealers. Okay, you say it's a service-related, and I say, well, how do I generate a recall if it isn't? Do you have any idea on that?
Well, what happens is if you have a concern about the airbag or the, you know, wheel bearings in your car or anything the case is, you go to the National Highway Traffic Safety website and you file a complaint. And when you file a complaint, it takes a few complaints, and then the NHTSA people start to look at things that they think, oh, this is a trend, and it actually doesn't. It doesn't take much to figure out that. Oh, wait, you know, this is enough of an issue where we need to start looking at it. And sometimes, you know, it takes, you know, thousands of people calling in saying, oh, we have a problem. Other times it only takes, you know, two or three people to call in that have a problem. But your vehicle, my vehicle identification number, wasn't counted in that airbag issue?
No, it was not.
Oh, okay. Now, is the airbag light on?
The airbag, that's how the whole thing started. The airbag light came on.
Okay.
So a family member took it to the dealer. And the dealer, you know, fixed the airbag and said the car is ready. So went down there, and I got a call from my son. He says, Dad, I can't pay for all this, the cost. It was a $1,700-plus cost to get the airbag light, you know, not to come on. Mm. He mentioned about airbag lights. So I had to go down there and pay him and give him the money so he could drive the car and he needed for work.
Yeah.
And then this is how the whole thing started. And I reviewed the actual work order here, and I just highlighted. One was, he said that they found a jammed seatbelt, and then they had to replace what they call an SRS unit.
Right.
And just the labor cost, $1,000 just for the labor cost. So I can't understand the cost and since it's a safety issue, why it's not covered under the warranty by the manufacturer.
Yeah, because I mean the airbag module is probably a couple hundred bucks, and it's probably 3 hours labor or so to, you know, do the repairs. But you also said there was the seatbelt retractor was jammed, so they had to put a new.
That's what they listed here. Seatbelt jammed.
Yeah.
Driver's side seatbelt.
Driver's side, huh? But you didn't see anything as far as anything. The seatbelt, as far as you know, wasn't jammed or.
No, actually, I did not see anything. In fact, there's another chapter to this problem.
Okay.
The car was in an accident where the driver's side was sideswiped by another car.
Okay.
So then I took it to a sanctioned body shop. They fixed it, and the insurance pay for all the damages. When I went down there, I said, I don't understand this bill here. He said, well, the car, was the car in the accident? It was. And we didn't see this airbag light come on. So he said, it must be related to the accident. So I went back to the insurance company, and after a month and a half, came back and says, no way was the accident that the car was in that would cause any of the damages that is reported by the person, you know, the dealer who fixed the problem. So now I'm caught. They think that was the case, that the accident caused it, and I went back, and the insurance company said no, so they won't pay it. Essentially, I'm in limbo on the price of $1,700-plus.
And the insurance company and the body shop, they have put something in writing that says that they feel that the seatbelt issue was caused by the crash?
No, it was just an opinion.
Oh, okay. All right.
Opinion by the shop, the dealer that replaced the seat belt and the SR unit.
Yeah. To me, if the seat belts didn't work properly after the crash, even if it didn't work properly, And I don't understand this whole seatbelt jam thing. I mean, if you and your son were driving this car and putting the seatbelt on every time you drove it and the seatbelt seemed to work okay, I'm not sure how it can be jammed or not. I mean, you know, seatbelts can go bad, and they do have they do have the ability to generate diagnostic codes and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's entirely possible the seatbelt could go bad. The other thing is in some cases, and it's usually not a sideswipe. A sideswipe is usually when doesn't put a lot of stress on the seatbelt. So I don't know. I think the airbag module could have been bad, you know, just for whatever the reason is. Mm-hmm. And I'm not so sure about the seatbelt, though. Mm. And the seatbelt, you know, I guess if it generated a code, it generated a code. So you have to look at it. But from what you described, you know, this isn't typical of what can happen. And I would be surprised, you know, if you know the seatbelt system. You know, they used to say seatbelts and airbags had a 10-year, 100,000-mile life.
Yeah, something to that effect. Yeah.
Then they found out that, you know, people keep cars a lot longer than that. Then they're like, well, you know what? They work until they don't, and when they don't, then you have to get them fixed. But it's, you know, it's certainly one of those things that you look at and you go, you know, what do we need? You know, what do we need to do to fix it? I'm always suspicious of, you know, how one thing leads to another. So when you have an airbag, when you have a collision, and then after the collision, things start to act up, you know, were any of these related to the collision, or was it just related to a Honda that's 7 years old?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think it's, you know, I have to think it may be somehow related to, you know, what happened, you know, during the crash. Now, was somebody in the car when it crashed? When someone
sideswiped when it was hit. Actually, it was slow. I think they were he was in the right lane, and then the other person that hit him was in the left lane.
Yeah.
It was about, you know, 25 miles an hour zone, that type of thing.
How much damage was done to the car, do you know?
Oh, 2,500, even more.
Yeah,
$2,700 or something.
Yeah,
you know, those things really pile up. So basically, John, it's a matter of I have more work to do, but I thought it was this is the first time, and I'm 80 years old, and I've owned many cars, and I never had any issue with the safety portion of the car. I have a 2002 Subaru. I mean. And the guy at the shop kept arguing. He said, well, there's electronics, they fail and all that. Well, I mean, don't you design? I mean, these are solid-state devices they put in. They don't.
Yeah. I mean, it's like anything. It kind of works till it doesn't. And you're right. If it's mechanical, you know, one of the big parts of making an airbag work is it's got to have a good ground system for instance the airbag that's in the steering wheel, and it gets its ground the same way the horn gets its ground. So and what can happen is if it loses
you
that
mean your
ground,
electrical ground.
So you know, over time can that ground fail because the wire just breaks? Yeah, it can, you know, that kind of stuff can happen. But the electronics of it, unless there was some sort of, you know, and that ground is actually called a clock spring assembly. That's the thing that actually, when you think of like a clock spring in a watch, you know, when you turn the steering wheel around and around, it winds and unwinds the spring, but always keeps a steady electrical connection, and that's why, and that's how the airbag always has power and ground going to it. So what happens is, you know, can something like that break because of wear and tear? Sure, it can. So, you know, but as far as the module, you think, well, what would cause a module just to go bad? You know?
Yeah, well, my argument.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they really only have a 3-year, you know, 36,000 mile warranty.
So I think I have to swallow the cost. Is that what you.
Well, you know,
I would still,
in all the light of everything that's happening with Honda and airbags and all that other stuff. Now, did you have the repair done at a Honda dealership?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. I would take a copy of, you know, all the repair information from the dealership.
Send it,
you know, somewhere in the back of the owner's manual of the car, there's a number for, you know, Honda of America. And I would send it to customer service and say, and write a little note that says, you know, in light of all the problems you're having with airbags, you know, is it possible that my airbag could be slightly outside of the warranty?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, say to them, I understand how the seatbelt being jammed,
be, yes.
You know, that could be not a warranty issue, but is the airbag module something that could have, you know, could also be another problem that you're just not aware of? And would you, and, you know, at that point, you know, would they consider paying all of it? Probably not.
Ah, but that's a just, good point.
But just say to them, hey, as a goodwill gesture in all this light of airbag issues with your cars, are you, you know, can you help me out with the repair? And see what they say. You know, for the cost of a stamp and a piece of paper, it's worth sending it to them.
Yeah, a little time and a little patience.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, that's a good input, John.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care, Carl. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
I think we have another Tom on the line. Tom, is that you? Tom? Where are you, Tom? Let's go over to Evan. Evan. Hello, Evan.
How's on the phone?
Hey, Evan.
What?
Hey, Evan.
What?
What's going on, Evan?
What's the safest place to sit in a car? Sit in a car in an accident.
What's the safest way to stay in a car?
Yeah. What's the safest place to sit in the car?
For you, Evan, in the back seat in the middle. That's where you want to sit. You want to sit in the back seat. If you're and you're 8, but for any kids under the age of 13, they belong in the rear seat, and the safest place to be is in the is in the middle of the rear seat. And the second safest place is on the driver's side. The third place safest place is on the passenger side. And then when you turn 13, you can sit in the front seat, and that's where you can sit then. Okay, Evan?
Okay.
Okay. So that was Evan. And I think we need to take another break. I'm all, you know, we need to rest. I have a half a cup of coffee to drink still. I think Karen needs to take a break, too. So we'll all take a break together. If you would like to join us, the phone lines are available at 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Why don't we take a break? We'll be right back.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Service celebrates this Red Sox season with a home run of a tire sale.
Hit a home run and save big on all Goodyear tires with instant rebates and mail-in rebates. Buy 3 Yokohama tires, get the 4th tire free. Buy 1 and get the 2nd at 50% off. On a tight budget, Sullivan Tire has tires starting as low as $49.
We've knocked it out of the park with this sale. Come in today and get ready for those weekend road trips, and we will not be beat on price or service.
Salem Media Group Boston is happy to announce Eliza Morgan is going to be the keynote speaker at our 6th annual Women in Ministry Brunch. Eliza is a co-host of the syndicated radio program Discover the Word, heard daily on AM 590 WEZE.
I'm looking forward to this group of women coming from all over different cities, coming together with regular life challenges and then some really biggies as well, and discovering who God is in them.
Women of God, won't you please join us for an annual Women in Ministry brunch held on Thursday, June 22nd at Lombardo's, 6 Billing Street in Randolph, Massachusetts. Doors will open promptly at 10 a.m. This is a free event and surely to sell out fast. Last year, over 600 women came to this great event. Don't be left out. To reserve your seat at this great event, go to one of our websites, am590theword.com, WROLradio.com, am1260thebuzz.com, or RadioLooseBoston.com. Click on the Women in Ministry banner to register.
A couple of months ago, I was out at the mall when out of nowhere, this guy backs up and wham! Don't worry, everyone was okay, but my car was totaled and insurance wouldn't cover it. So I'm a busy guy and I need a new car and I don't have time to shop for loan rates. Thanks to City of Boston Credit Union, I didn't have to.
For rates and terms, visit cityofbostoncu.com. Equal opportunity lender.
Do you ride the Bible bus? Dr. J. Vernon McGee's incredible Bible bus through the Bible. It's a journey from the beginning to the end of the Bible, and you can say thanks for the smooth ride. It's letter month at Through the Bible, and they want to hear from you. It's letter month at Through the Bible, and they want to hear from you. Share your story of how the ride has changed your life. Don't miss the bus.
Log on to 590amtheword.com or WROLradio.com and enter the keyword letter or click on the banner.
WROL Boston. You're listening to The Car Doctor.
Cause I'm crazy about a Murphy. Cruise up and down this road. Up and down this road. I'm going to buy me a Murphy now. Cruise.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, The Spirit of Boston, or if you're listening on Sunday night, AM 1260 WBIX, or if you're listening internationally on Salem Radio Boston, thank you. And if you're listening on the podcast, and, you know, the podcast gets listened to from all over the world, drop me an email, will you? I want to know where you're from. My email is jpaul, J-P-A-U-L, at AAA Northeast. You have to spell it the word Northeast, so jpaul at AAANortheast.com. And I know, for instance, that over the course of a year, 70,000 podcasts get downloaded in the UK. Not sure why, but they do. So if you're listening in the UK, drop me an email so I know about you and know what you're doing, and you know, tell me what you drive, and you know, I won't send you a prize because I think if I tried to send something outside of the United States at work, people would start to wonder about me. Let's go. Let's see if our buddy Tom's on the phone. Tom, are you there?
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm glad you take calls from ages 2 to 92.
There we go.
Yes, yes.
Or at least 8 to 80.
8 to 80?
Yeah.
I don't know about the last call. I think I'm a little younger than that. That's kind of cute.
Well, we try.
Yes. So, back to This Is My Life, going down to Florida. That must have been quite the experience. Did you come back home and decide to make out a will and make amends with people? And
well, you try.
Back through your mind, wonder if you're going to be on Fox News.
Well, well, first off, they never dragged me off a plane, so that was good. We took JetBlue down because JetBlue had a deal for $100 one way, and
yeah.
it was a great flight going down right on time, just the way you know.
Right.
But coming back, we had a connection in Baltimore, and it was a tight connection. We only had 30 minutes to actually get from one plane to the other. But then we got there, and we had 20 minutes left, and then we looked up, and the plane said it was delayed, or the thing said it was delayed for 20 minutes, which was more like half an hour, and it was just a lot of rain on the East Coast yesterday, and it slowed flights down, and I kind of said to my wife, you know, it's getting to be such a hassle to fly these days. I think I'm almost looking forward to, you know, someday if I ever retired, actually drive somewhere. At least I know that, you know, I'm responsible for, you know, whatever it is that I'm doing. And if even though I could get stuck in traffic, and it was amazing that I parked at a place in Chelsea called Preflight, and they have a shuttle that comes and picks you up and at the airport. And You know, what is it, 11 o'clock at night on a Friday night and traffic's all jammed up and, you know, coming out of Boston?
Sure.
Yeah. It's like, come on. You know, where's everybody going? What are they doing? And there was no reason for it. There was no crash. It was just a volume of traffic, just everybody out. So
seems like it's traffic no matter what. You know, on a Sunday afternoon, you know, we come home from church and we decide I'm down here in Kingston to go up to my sister's up in Randolph.
Yeah.
So I take Route 3 north. It's like a 7:30 in the morning traffic. It's like,
yeah.
Where is everybody going?
Yeah, I know. I said, you know, we had a 9 a.m. flight last Sunday, and, you know, we probably left the house at, you know, 6:15 or something, and, you know, with the idea we're going to Chelsea, drop the car off, take the thing, whatever, and traffic was steady on the highway at you know, whatever, 6:30 in the morning on a Sunday, and you're like, shouldn't everybody be going to church or in bed or whatever people do?
Or something.
And yeah. And the airport, fortunately, when we got there and we checked right in, and we were fortunate on both ends of the trip that we got the ticket so you didn't have to take your shoes and belt off. So, but it was still, I still look at it and I'm like, where are all these people going? What are they doing? And,
yeah.
But it was funny though. You say, you kind of look around at Florida and either Florida is, it's either people are in the best health I've ever seen or the worst health I've ever seen. You know, this guy that was on the Honda Goldwing motorcycle that, you know, put the custom, you know, Weber carburetors on it. He was probably 7 or 8 years older than me. He looked like he could do, you know, push-ups all day long and you know, go for a marathon run. And then I saw people that I think were younger than me that I don't know, they didn't look like anything was really physically wrong with them, other than it didn't look like they had any ambition to do anything. So I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if the answer is going to the beach and going fishing every day, or just, you know, interacting with people all day long. There's some secret that keeps you young. I don't know what it is.
It's funny because I got a buddy of mine that retired. He's a single guy. And he goes down to Florida for like 4 months out of the year. And he joins a softball team down there. Well,
yeah.
Like you said, it's like 65 and above age.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 72. And it's softball. And he goes down and he hits the ball and he makes it to first base. They can have a pitch runner for him. The guy's 84. He's in great shape. He's like a Jack LaLanne. You know,
yeah.
Remember who Jack LaLanne is.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
Yeah. You know, he's all buff and everything else.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, he's the pitch runner. It's like, 84, come on.
Yeah.
No, you know, there was... talking about the Jeep earlier. Is what do you call it? The four-wheel?
Quadratrac, yep.
Yeah, is that just for Jeeps only?
Well, Jeep, that's their trademark name. They have something called Quadra Drive, Quadra Track, and Quadra Lift.
Because I remember back in the 80s they had Quadra Track.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just a variation of that terminology.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
I got a quick question for you. I want to ask about a car. The Buick, I think they call it Enclave.
Enclave, yep.
Enclave?
Yeah,
my
it's a pretty.
Looking for another vehicle. We have it's still the 2003 Dodge Grand Caravan. I'm a tall guy. I'm 6'4. And I fit fine in that. Dodge Grand Caravan. I haven't gone to look at the Buick. It's over at Columbia, over in Hanover.
Yep.
And I was thinking of going over there today and trying to see if I fit in there, or do I need a shoehorn and some Vaseline. Do you know anything about those vehicles?
Yeah, I mean, they're built on the same platform as the new Chevy Traverse, or the old Chevy Traverse, I guess. It's the biggest thing about the Enclave, I think, is it's a vehicle that's it's been on the market about 10 years, and I think unless there's I don't think they've come out with a new Enclave yet. I think it's going to come out next year. So you're in a lot of cases you're buying what amounts to a kind of 10-year-old design. So I might even go look at The Buick's the fancier version of the Chevy Traverse.
Okay.
The Traverse has been all updated, and I don't even know if it's out yet, but they've been showing it off a little bit. There's nothing wrong with the Enclave. It's a nice enough vehicle. I think it's maybe a little bit underpowered, but what they did is they took what they've been building for 10 years, and they just try to make it more and more luxurious. Buick's really trying to make Buicks that compete with Lexus.
And
I don't know if that's good or bad. You know, I think it's good they're trying to make them quiet and smooth, but I think the mechanicals in it are starting to get a little bit dated. At 6'4", I think you'll fit okay in it. But you know, the best thing to do, of course, is always go check it out. Like I said, nothing wrong with it. You know, in the rating of best near luxury SUVs,
like
go
3,000 miles on it, something like that.
Yep. No, I think it's a good enough vehicle. It's just I don't know if it's as up to date as some of the others that might fit into that same category. But go take a look at it. See what the best thing to do is go
up to date. Up to date on what?
Well, I mean, I think the engine design's maybe starting to show its age a little bit. The transmission design, I think, is starting to show its age.
But is it reliable?
Oh yeah, it's reliable enough. I think as things go, it's just not staying up with the times as much as it is. I think you're gonna find, it's comfortable. It's the same. I'm pretty sure it's the same 3.6 liter V6 and 6-speed automatic transmission they've had forever, which I guess means what's good about that. There's nothing really wrong with that because
that's
it's all
a good point.
Better than say, oh, we just put this new 10-speed automatic transmission in, and we're going to hope it's okay. They know this one's going to be okay. I think the one thing, and it kind of depends on how much you drive it, because it's an older design, I think you're going to be suffering gas mileage-wise. You might find out your fuel economy's not up there where you hope it is.
And it's not something that I would be in all the time, because I have my little Ford Ranger right now.
Right.
So, but it'll be something I want to make sure that if we decide to take a trip to New York or something like that, that I'll be able to fit in it and be a little comfortable in it.
Oh, I think for comfort-wise...
Because they did say they have one of those, what do you call it, the adjustments on your back.
Oh, yeah, the lumbar support and all that.
Lumbar support.
Yeah, I think, one of the things that I will say about Buick is they make some of the more comfortable seats on the market. So I think for overall comfort and cruising, I think the Enclave would be a good choice. Like I said, the downside of it is, probably fuel economy isn't quite where it should be, and
yeah.
if you're looking for the latest engine design, latest transmission design, it's not going to be in this because it is, they've been, like all the car manufacturers, they've been updating where they needed to, and then they've been just putting new features in the vehicle without actually doing a complete remodel. And I think probably in 2018, you'll probably see a brand new Enclave come to the market.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I'm thinking of, if I go there today, I wonder how long it would take for me to get from Kingston to Hanover. It usually takes me about 12 minutes. Go in, introduce myself, say hello, I'm interested in this car that I got online, and just want to see if I fit in it. And then I have to get going. So if I get there around 11, do you think I'd be out of there by 7? You know how you experience at the dealerships?
Yeah.
Now, what's it going to take to take it home today?
Well, it's funny you say that, because I guess it depends on how busy the dealership is, and how much they don't want you to leave.
Right.
It is funny though. The best customer they have is the one that walks in with the checkbook in their pocket and knows what they want. You're right. Sometimes they especially if you had a trade in. All I can go back is to the time that I bought that I was shopping for my Hyundai Santa Fe, and I went to a Hyundai dealer, and they like literally blocked the door. They wouldn't let me leave.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's why you have to make up your mind, yes or no.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing is my mom went down to a Ford dealer over in Hanover, Janelle, and just she was out shopping. Now, this is not my mom. This is not what she usually does. She found a, at that time, was 1996, Lincoln Town Car, white with the, like, navy blue top. Beautiful, you know, typical Florida car, I would call it.
Yep.
And my father was doing a roofing job for a lady. And so I'm down there helping my dad and everything else. And who pulls up to the house but my mom and this Lincoln Town Car.
Wow.
And my father's mouth drops open. This is on a Friday afternoon. And says, well, I was out shopping to do some food shopping. And he goes, you go food shopping, you come home with the Lincoln? So they told her that she could keep the car for the weekend, see if she likes it, and bring it back Monday and let us know what you think. I thought that was a great idea because they bought the car and they were happy as a clam. They still have it. Anytime they go down to Florida, everybody wants to buy it from them.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can fit six dead bodies in the trunk. I mean, it's so huge.
Yeah,
they fill it up with grapefruits when they bring them back from Florida.
There you go.
You know, that type of thing. But it was interesting that the dealership let her take the car home to see if it's something that, you know, fits their what they're looking for.
Yeah, and that was, and it was funny, even Buick did that for a while. Buick had what they called a 24-hour road test for a while, where you'd take the car overnight, you know, you'd get there at noontime one day, and you'd bring it back noon the next day, so you could actually drive it and see if you like it, because, you know, the 10-minute, you know, kind of predetermined road test around the block that a lot of dealers do, that doesn't really tell you much about the car. I used to, you know, years back, there was that big used car lot in Whitman, Auto Lines.
And oh, yeah.
It was a guy from down your way in Kingston, Pep, that was a former service manager at Copeland Toyota. And it was him and two other guys that started the business together. And they got killed when the interest rates dropped down to 0%, because why would you buy used at, you know, 1 or 2% interest when you could buy new at zero and end up about the same price when you were done? But they had no... They would just hand, you know, for the most part, hand you the keys to the car and go out for, you know, say, go, you know, come back, you know, a little while. And, you know, a little while meant, you know, half an hour. And I used to say to them, you know, back when they were in business, and I'd talk to them, I'd say, you know, I used to tell people, go find a nice car and go down the street to Peaceful Meadows, have an ice cream, drive around a little bit, see if you like the car, and then come back. And he said, you know what? He said, I think that's what some of my customers have been doing. And he said, but they come back and they like the car, and, you know, and maybe having an ice cream before you think about buying a car makes you more willing to buy a car afterwards. I don't know.
I put buying a car in the same category as buying a mattress. How do you know after 10 minutes, 15 minutes that that's the one for you?
Yeah, you don't.
You lay on a mattress and a salesperson standing over your head saying, so what do you think? It's like, well, I don't know. Let me take a nap and come back in a half hour and wake me up, and I'll tell you what I think.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, you know, let me know what this mattress is going to feel like in 90 days, because it might feel a whole lot different in 90 days than it does today. So.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. No, it'd be great if mattresses had a 100-day return policy, but I don't know that.
Just quickly, it was one of those nights. Was 2 years ago, right before Christmas. It was around the end of October. And I couldn't go to sleep, and it was 11:30 at night. I'm put on QVC, or Home Shopping Network, one of those programs, and they were selling mattresses, Serta.
Oh,
Serta mattresses. Comes with a 90-day money-back guarantee, no questions asked. So I was like, yeah, right, you know. Usually it's a 30-day, but they extended it because of the Christmas season.
Yep.
So I says, you know what, in the show, and you look at the fluffy top and does this, that, and everything else. It's okay, fine. I called up. I says, well, listen, I'm really interested, but how do you buy a mattress without even trying it? They says, well, you get 90 days. I says, so on 89 days of me laying in it, doing everything, I can return it, call you up? Yeah. I said, what's the catch? Okay.
Yeah.
I says, what's the catch? They said that you don't get your old mattress back. It was the greatest investment I ever did. You know, I stayed in. I still have it to this day. It was a great thing. But, again, just trying it for the 90 days.
There you go.
I bought it. Well, listen, you have a great weekend.
All right, you too, Tom. All right.
Have a safe week.
You as well. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
We need to take another break. John, if you're on hold, stay right there. And I guess we got a couple other people as well. Stay right there. We will be with you in about 3 minutes. My name's John Paul. This is the Car Doctor Program, and you're listening at AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston.
Celebrating 50 years of Irish on WROL Irish 950.
Hi, my name is Owen Forrest. I'm a retired police officer from Walpole. And back in 1983-84, our cruisers finally came equipped with AM radios. And I was scanning the radio one day and I found your radio station. And I've been listening ever since. I think it's the greatest radio station there is. It kept made my days go by easier. And it still does. I feel like I'm much of them in my 70s now. I just want to let you know I've been doing over the last 35, 40 years, and I can remember when Paul was doing the afternoon shows, and it has been absolutely great. And if you want to play this on the radio, that's fine with me. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
To share your memories and stories of what WROL Irish 950 has meant to you over the years, call us at 617-691-2534. Our phone lines are open 24/7, so call us anytime, 617-691-2534.
This is Michael Medved for townhall.com. Looking back on President Trump's opening months in office, not even the most determined detractors of the president can rightly blame him for dividing the country, since the nation was already deeply divided before he came to office. Barack Obama lost control of Congress to the opposition party, barely winning 51% in his reelection bid. George W. Bush also won narrow reelection and lost both houses, while leftist activists demonstrated to demand impeachment. Bill Clinton actually was impeached. This bitter, persistent divide stems in part from changes in media. With the rise of cable news, talk radio, and the internet, news sources today don't even pretend to be up the middle. Meanwhile, churches that used to draw congregants of all orientations now identify as unashamedly liberal or outspokenly conservative. Politics is polarized because the public is more polarized, with more Americans living in ideological enclaves where big majorities share the same outlook. I'm Michael Medved.
The more our family grew, the smaller our old car got. So we upgraded to a Honda Odyssey. It's from Kelley Blue Book's 2016 Best Value brand and comes with standard features like Bluetooth, so my wife can remind me of all the things I've forgotten to bring home. Ah, the diapers.
Go to www.hondacarsofboston.com or 100 Broadway, Route 99 in Everett, Mass. Call 617-276-1179.
Based on 2016 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book, visit kbb.com for information. See dealer for financing details.
You're listening to The Car Doctor, WROL Boston.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Program on AM 950 WROL, The Spirit of Boston. Let's go to a very patient John who's been on hold. John, good morning. John? All right. Well, I guess he wasn't so patient. Let's talk to Ben. Hello, Ben. Ben?
I'm here.
Ben?
I just let the dog out.
Hey, okay. Put the dog out. Come on now.
Now, listen. You have to do me a favor. Before you retire, you have to write some kind of a book.
Some kind of a book?
Yeah, because you're pretty knowledgeable.
Can I talk about how, like, you're somebody who calls in.
I've read many car repair books, and these people don't know what they're talking about. Okay.
Well, you know, it's. I try to be nice to all the guests I have on sometimes,
yes.
And every once in a while I'll hear some of them say something. And it'll kind of make me cringe, but you can't when somebody.
You've helped me quite a bit.
Yeah, but like when somebody writes a, we've had some people who wrote books and newsletters that have been on here, and they'll say something like, you know, and you know that sometimes they're saying it because somebody's paying them to say it, and it isn't sometimes the best advice. So
okay, so in other words, it could backfire. Is that what you're
saying? No, not for them, not for me. Yeah. It's just, you know, but for instance, like we had somebody on that talked about, you know, the benefits of putting nitrogen air in your tires and how good that is, and
right.
And I'm like, well, you know, regular air is 78% nitrogen and, you know, and about 12% oxygen and a little bit of something else, argon and stuff. And it's like, well, why would you pay $50 to put nitrogen in your tires when you can get 78% of that nitrogen for free at the air pump? And,
right.
You know, and they're like, well, you get better gas mileage and you get this and you get that. And the only reason you get better gas mileage is because maybe the tires don't, you know, leak a little air as much as they do with regular air. So, but if you check your tire pressure all the time, you don't need to worry about that. So, you know, so
okay.
You're right. You're right, Ben. There is a lot of bad information, and I try to give out the best information that I can. So,
well, Joe, you gave me some advice quite a while back that when a tire has a leak on the sidewalls, it can be repaired.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, I have these tires are pretty old. I have it on a 2000 Buick. And
oh, okay.
It was a pinhole. That's all it was a pinhole, and I tried patching it.
Yeah.
It didn't work. In other words, that tire is flexing, is that it?
Yep, yeah.
Okay, it's flexing. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go
yeah,
and buy
because...
a new tire. All right, one more important thing. A lot of these towns have their AAAs. You can register your auto license.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Renew your license.
Yep.
When will that happen in Lawrence?
I think it already. I think it just did. I think you can
do it
in Lawrence.
I called last week and they said they're not.
Not? Huh.
Okay.
Well, I know we just did Lowell.
Go ahead.
I know we just did Lowell.
Yeah.
So you can go to Lowell to do it.
Okay. I think Averill has it also, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's all around. And maybe because there's a registry office in Lawrence. So you might have to, go to one of the other ones. But
okay.
Yeah.
That's only license. It's not registration, correct?
No, they can do registration renewals. They can't do.
They can also.
Yeah. Yeah. They can do registration renewals too.
Because the lines are diminished at the registry, but they're still pretty rough.
Well, yeah, a little bit. Like when we had Erin Devaney, the registrar, on a couple weeks ago, you know, she likes the relationship with us because the more that we take some of her business away, the more that her lines get shorter at her offices. So
okay.
It works for everybody.
Okay, because I was getting tired of taking my lunch at the registry.
There you go. You can, but you're going to have to drive to Lowell. I think that's the answer.
Oh, John, thank you very much.
All right, take care, Ben.
Take care, bye.
Yep, bye-bye. Let's see if we can go to Paul. Paul, you there?
Hi, there we go, John Paul. Good morning.
Good morning.
Off topic, but the man was talking about mattresses, and I'll do it real quickly. I had the experience with a rather large company that sells really firm mattresses.
Yeah, you didn't have a good experience with them, did you?
New mattress, the 10-year warranty. You have to pay $24.95 to do a self-inspection, or have them come for $40 to do a self-inspection on your warranty.
Really?
Yeah, and this was a mattress that was just a couple of months old. And to put icing on the cake, if you bought a new mattress from them, or they finally credited me with the price of the original mattress, which they don't make anymore, so I have to spend more money, and they were going to charge me $150 to deliver the mattress. End of the story, I went to Jordan's, bought another mattress, and I'm keeping this one as a spare. So, like a spare tire. But again, you know, people, you know, when you're going anywhere, I guess you really ask, how is the warranty enforced?
Yeah.
This company that sells firm mattresses, you got to pay yourself to see whether the warranty comes into effect. So,
good work, by the way, saying everything but the company's name, but you almost said it. So, good work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I want you to be on next week.
All right. Thank you. Bye bye now.
Okay.
And you know, I hope Paul's not keeping like a spare mattress, like, you know, a hoarder, you know, just keeping them, you know, stuck around. I will tell you a hoarder story though. There was a fairly new Lexus in the parking lot of the I stayed at just a Hampton Inn, and there was a fairly new Lexus, and it was up to the dash with just stuff inside the car. And I asked the woman behind the desk, I said, what's the deal with that scary looking Lexus out in the parking lot? And she said, oh, the guy lives here. And I said, what? And she said, oh yeah. And I said, how come? And she said, well, his house apparently looks just like his car. And he had to move out of his house and moved here. And I said, well, it's got to cost him. I said, I went on AAA.com and I get the best travel price available, and it's probably $100 a night. So he's got to be spending, you know, $500 or $600 a week to stay here. And she said, oh yeah, he is. And she said, he's a nice guy. And, we keep the room up so, you know, he doesn't accumulate anything. But what he does is when his car gets full of junk, he just gives it away to somebody, and then he goes buys another one. So, but this was a pretty scary looking car.
Wait a minute.
And there's Sully. I knew I would get Sully's attention with this.
He gives the stuff away or he gives the car away? He
gives the car away.
Where is this again? I need to get there by tomorrow.
You need to drive to Venice, Florida, and try to get this guy's Lexus. And for the few days I was there, it only had left once, but I mean, it literally, the only place you could sit in the car was the driver's seat. And the thing was, maybe it was a Lexus RX 350, so the SUV, and it was maybe a year and a half old.
Mm-hmm.
So. Wow. But I guess apparently, and the woman said, "Oh yeah, when the car gets full of junk, he goes and buys a new one and just kind of gives that one away to somebody."
But what kind of junk is it? Is in it?
Paper and empty soda bottles.
Oh no! Okay. Yeah. So in other words, the people have to declutter de-junk the car.
Yeah, and apparently that's why he lives in this hotel. And he's been living there. She said he's been living there for 3 years.
He's never heard of a cleaning woman, too, obviously.
Yeah, I know, but he's been...
Or a cleaning company.
Yeah, but yeah. He lives in this hotel because his house apparently looks like the car, mm-hmm. and he literally like, collected so much junk that he had to move out of his house, and at least here at the hotel, the maid comes in every day and throws all the trash out.
Boy, there are a lot of paradoxes in that. You know, he has a Lexus, which means he has money.
Oh, he's got plenty of money, apparently.
So why does he stay in the Hampton Inn and not the Four Seasons?
Maybe he doesn't have that much money.
All right, okay. See, there are more questions than answers here, aren't
but
there?
Still, there's a couple $1,000s a month that he's spending that he doesn't need to. You think he could spend a couple $1,000s a month and get a really good cleaning service to kind of throw your junk away.
And have more room.
Yeah, but people get really attached to their stuff like that. So.
Well, I do like the Hampton Inn, too. So
there's nothing wrong with the Hampton Inn. No? Hey, I made waffles twice. So.
Yeah, that's the best part.
That is. It is.
Hey, Nat King Cole's playing.
Hey, that means that I have to go and the very best in Irish music with Paul Sullivan and the Irish Hit Parade is coming up next. So until next week, make sure you wear your seatbelt, drive safely, and be good to your car. Talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.
I was born Liam Rafferty O'Brien.